Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. How are you today? It is a terrific Tuesday. Another spectacular day weather-wise with no humidity. Enjoy it. Thank you for tuning in to the Sheeman and Shepherd Show. 2 to 6 every weekday right here on ESPN Southwest Florida. Chris on the other side of the glass. We've got a lot going on. Of course, if you are out and about, and in addition to our Sheeman and Shepherd Radio Network myriad of stations, we have an app. It is free. Listen to us wherever you go on your phone, ESPN Southwest Florida. That's free. Our website, you can also listen there and go back in time to Sheeman and Shepherd podcast at ESPNSWFL.com. You can follow us on Twitter at ESPNSWFL. You can follow me at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Phone number and Stony Brook Golf Club text line remain the same. Classics as always, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Maryland Mike says, Sheeman and Shepherd, candy for the ears. I appreciate that. Green Falcon says, I called dibs on Artie's wings since the Bills didn't let him eat. He doesn't eat the wings until the Bills win. That didn't happen. And a shout out to female ref who was out with Captain Deb today. She sent out pictures. And she says that Captain Deb is an awesome guide. Peacock bass and largemouth bass, followed by a great lunch. And there are the pictures.
Oh, very
what's
nice.
What's a peacock bass? Does it have, like, tail feathers and all?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
I did not know that. So, anyway, that is our backdrop today. Interesting decisions at the end of the Monday Night Football game last night, plus controversy with the Philadelphia 76ers breaking as we take the airwaves. We will get to all of it. Also, we have a Red Alert Tuesday, Twitter Police Sunshine State Edition. Later on, our friend from the Everblades, Chris Palin, will join us. He's the VP over there. They're getting ready to start the season right now. So we'll have all that, plus Wikipedia, your Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab. The word is candy. Text in the word candy to 45911, and you could win $500 by 2:15 this afternoon. Pete Shepherd, how are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm fantastic. My boys are bashing the ball all over the place.
More grand slams. Our grand slam.
Holy cow. It was when Schwarber hit that one last night, and the camera stayed on him. And you never know. I mean, I know he's walking, and I said, okay, he really blasted it, but did just make it. And I know how far it went, because you look at the pesky pole, and it's it's not even 302.
It's 100 feet.
It's 299. But where he hit that home run last night was about 425.
Yeah.
That was a bomb. But the camera stayed on him the whole time, and they just, Eduardo Rodriguez, two starts in a row, where he's giving you what he's supposed to do, just give you five.
Yeah.
Just give me five, and three runs or less, and that's fine. And we'll see tonight. Long way to go in this series, but man, I think Greinke's going to get lit up tonight. Not that Pivetta can't either. I feel like the Astros are like kind of due, but right now they got to be a little shell shocked, and their pitching staff is poo poo. They're done. They're just going to have to hope. They're going to have to outscore the Red Sox, which I know is a stupid cliche, but they're going to have to put up, like, in my opinion tonight, at least 8 runs to win. They certainly have the capability of doing it.
It's as if the Red Sox know what pitch is coming. How's that feel, Astros?
I don't know about that. There's 3 or 4 players, though, that are in a zone. Absolute in a zone between Kike Hernandez and obviously Schwarber and others. Now, like Xander Bogaerts, he's still in a little bit of a slump.
Yeah.
Hunter Renfroe has been a little bit of a slump.
That's got to stink being in a slump with all your other teammates are running around at the bases nonstop.
Well, that's the beauty of it. They get enough power and Verdugo, and that's all they do is get extra base hits, it seems.
Yeah.
Crazy. But, yeah, very happy 2-1. The atmosphere at Fenway last night, off the chart. Unbelievable. Pre-game, during the game, and post-game was sick. Yeah, it's just great to see. It's great for baseball. I expect the same in Los Angeles today. It'll be a blow. 5 o'clock, so it'll be, what, 208?
Yeah.
208. How's traffic at 208 near Chavez Ravine?
Traffic's always bad near Chavez Ravine. But it's better than at, say, 508.
Okay.
Slightly better.
5:08 our time, 2:08 their time. That should
you
be...
can go out to lunch and then go straight out to the ballpark by 1, maybe get there by 2, and it should work out.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers get back on track today to get it done.
Well, they need to. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, they were down 3-1 last year to Atlanta, came back and won.
And, you know, and the last time Max Scherzer was out, he said he's got a dead arm. They used him so much. He went 7 innings, then he did the ninth inning save against the Giants. He says he's got a dead arm. Yeah. I'd be concerned later, but we ain't there yet.
Yeah.
All right.
And then the Bills and Titans, I mean, you can make – I know what the analytics say. Go for it, yada, yada. We can talk about, you know, the slip by Josh Allen. Their ridiculous, horrific take. By what's-his-name at Fox about the left tackle being out.
Chris Broussard.
What an idiot. I saw that too, Chris. Before he tweeted it out, I listened to it. And then I stopped 10 seconds, and I'm like, why am I aggravating myself with this idiot? And he blocked me a long time ago anyway.
If you missed it, Chris Broussard said the reason the Bills lost last night was because all-pro left tackle Taylor Lewan was out for the Bills. Mm-hmm. He got his teams confused. That's all it was. Chris Broussard, he sounded really confident, though, that was the reason that the Bills can turn this around once Taylor Lewan gets back on the roster of the Bills.
Yeah.
What a buffoon.
They carted him off. Looked like a concussion. Didn't move for a while.
They gave the thumbs up when he was on his
way out.
Well, thankfully, because that was, you know.
The way he fell, he hit the back of the player in front of him, and his neck got compressed. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I will get into that and that decision-making by Sean McDonough, and we'll figure it all out.
We got Sean McDermott.
Yeah. McDermott. Sean McDonough.
Said, wow, dude.
Good Lord.
The radio voice of the Red Sox.
Yeah.
One of them. One of seven, I guess.
Yeah.
That is a crud.
Also, the NHL, also, yeah, they've cut down this year. Yeah, they've cut.
Hey, last year, it was comical.
They just re-upped over there. They just re-upped over there, and they're going to probably clean house a little bit.
Okay.
Do some tweaking.
All right, let's do all that. We've got soccer on the TV because there's nothing else going on until baseball at 5 o'clock. Time now for a SportsCenter rundown. First one of the day at 7 minutes past the hour. Here's Chris.
The Philadelphia 76ers have suspended Ben Simmons for the season opener for conduct detrimental to the team. Doc Rivers threw Ben out of practice today for not being engaged. We will get into that as the show goes on. NBA season tips off tonight. Doubleheader on TNT. Nets at Bucks at 7:30. That's followed by Warriors at Lakers. The Browns do not believe Baker Mayfield's labrum injury will require immediate surgery at this point. According to league sources, he is getting a second opinion on his shoulder today, though.
Got a text right here. It says, hey, guys, love the show. First time texter. My name's Tyler. Big time Titans fan.
All right,
and I'm
Tyler
in Naples, and I want to let Art the Bills fan know I'm having wings for dinner.
Nice.
LOL. For those who don't know, Art said he always makes wings, but he never eats them until after the win. Well, they didn't win.
I'd go for the
rings,
though.
You're now Titan Tyler,
I love
by the
that
way. That's, you got a text name your first time in. That's rare.
Wouldn't you go for the ribs in Nashville, in Tennessee?
Yeah, well, anything barbecue. They do pretty good barbecue there.
I think he's mocking the fact.
I know.
All right, so in case you didn't stay up for the... Well, you know what? Let's table
Shame
that.
On
we,
you.
We got more of a breaking development story out of Philadelphia that I think is of...
Yeah.
I don't want to say equal interest, but it's happening now.
Adam Silver, I'm sure, is loving this. On the night of the opening night doubleheader with Brooklyn at defending champion Milwaukee Bucks, and then the Lakers, old man Lakers, entertaining the Golden State Warriors... You have to deal with this. But it shouldn't be totally unexpected,
so
right?
So Ben Simmons, pain in the butt all summer, no communication, says he's not showing up for the 76ers. All of a sudden does show up at the last second. Of course, we all know he can't shoot. He passes up dunks. He's a problem. Getting a lot of blame for them getting bounced out of the playoffs last year. So he shows up. So we think, oh, okay, maybe everything can be worked out. You got a great coach at Doc Rivers. You got Joel Embiid, who's very supportive of him publicly, even though Ben Simmons is afraid to shoot the ball. Well, apparently today, Ben Simmons refused to go in to practice to do a defensive drill. He's got a cell phone in his back pocket. Doc threw him out. Said, go home.
Missed practices, on court workouts, and meetings. He hasn't earned any money since returning to the team October 11th. He has also been fined $1.4 million just now for his absence from 4 preseason games.
See, I think they were willing to overlook that since he came back. But since he pulled that stunt today, they're saying, bleep you. We're fining you for everything we can fine you with. This is unsalvageable. And obviously, Ben Simmons wanted to get his rear end traded out of there, right?
Well, yeah, but let's hear what Joel Embiid had to say. He's had it.
Yeah, all right.
I'm sure he speaks for everybody. It's Joel Embiid about an hour ago.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That's not my job. That's those guys' jobs. I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, play hard every night, try to lead, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, our chemistry has been excellent. Despite, everything that's been happening in the last few months. Like I said, I don't really care.
Yeah.
How about that? When you lost your teammates that are pretty supportive publicly, that's it. That's over. I mean, you talk about whether, a coach has lost the locker room, a player has lost his locker room. He can't go back. So now what do you do, Daryl Morey? Ball back in your court.
Well, really interesting. Now, what do you think? Do you not suck it up, but to try? No, you know what? We're not suspending you. He's obviously suspended for one game, but after the first game.
Right.
No, you know what? You're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to embarrass yourself. Sit on the bench. But then he gets paid.
I know.
Then he gets
paid.
Then he wins.
But you're not getting out of that. You're not getting out of paying him.
Right.
You're not getting out of it.
Well, they are for this particular moment. He's been fined $1.4 million for his absence.
Out of 174 number is. You're not getting out of it. Like, you're going to have to pay the dude most of what he's owed.
You could suspend him one day at a time and keep paying.
Try to approach him for a buyout.
But how big is that buyout going to be?
It's big.
He's like, you owe me $147.
But there is no better option. You just want to pay him the $174 million, or you want to say take $75 and go find somewhere else?
I think if Doc had his brothers, which you can't do, he'd say, just get the hell out of here and release you like you do in football. But you can't do that in the NBA.
Well, you can, but you owe them all $174.
Yeah, exactly. And I just don't know how you find someone to pay that to trade, even in a three-way deal.
And at one point,
who wants that contract? Who wants him?
At one point, you have to remember – you can't have a cancer in your locker room all season. Your two best players don't like each other, openly, publicly.
No, he can't be in that locker room.
You got to move on from him somehow. You're not trading for him with that contract. So try to save every penny you can. Buy him out of his contract.
Or you trade him and you pay half his salary, or maybe if you can, a little bit less. I don't know. But I don't see how the 76ers get out of this without paying a big chunk of that money, because I don't know if people are banging down the door to get him. And wherever, and if someone is banging down the door, don't you think it has to be a contending team? He can't go to a team that is mediocre to bad. It'll be disastrous. Absolute disastrous.
No, I would ship him to, what's the NBA version of Siberia now? I mean,
Sacramento.
Sacktown?
Minneapolis. Cleveland.
Send him to Minneapolis.
Yeah, but then you're putting him with Cat, and maybe that works. I don't think it does. I think you have two very, by NBA standards, very weak-minded individuals. I don't see how you win with that in the NBA.
That'll explode.
But, like, talent-wise, that there's a lot of talent on the court if you've got those two guys.
Send him to Minnesota, offer to pay the $47 million of the $147 million, and see if they take it.
And what do they get back?
At this point,
that's
I don't
what
care.
I mean. What do they get back?
I'll take a second rounder. I don't care.
No, at this point, stock the soda machine for the next 4 years. Like, you don't care about what you get back. You've got it's addition by subtraction.
Right.
You got to get him out of there.
Yeah, I'm not looking to get anything. It's like the Lions taking Jared Goff. They didn't really want Jared Goff. They got the first two first round picks. By the way, he may be benched for the game against his former team this weekend.
Now that would suck
for him. It would
for the game story. That would stink.
Yeah.
Who's the backup?
David Blau, Purdue Boilermaker.
Big week for Purdue football.
Ranked for the first time.
Are they 25?
Yeah.
I think they're on our pigskin picks this week.
They are.
Are they?
It's
Wisconsin.
You want to know a funny stat too regarding that?
It's a pretty slow Saturday.
with Purdue getting ranked this week for the first time since 2007. So Kansas is the only P5 team that's now gone the longest without being ranked in the AP Top 25. Remember, in 2009, they got up to 16. They were 5-0. Then they lost their last seven and missed a bowl.
It's a game of streaks, Pete Shepard.
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable.
Very streaky.
Yeah, there's more coming out on Ben Simmons. He's this was Shams had to report right before we went on air. There was a defensive drill.
Yeah, he wanted
to. Doc Rivers invited him to participate. Like, I love how Shams positions that. Invited him to participate. Mm-hmm. He declined.
Yeah.
And then Rivers asked him again to get in practice, and he said no. And that's when he told him to just leave. And he dropped his basketball.
Go home.
He literally dropped his basketball and went home.
Yeah. The video of him, he's not in like basketball shorts and tank. It's more like the shorts that Pete has with tube socks and shoes and a
t-shirt. I don't
have
tube socks, and there's no way.
These I didn't say you did.
No, he said shorts.
He's got your shorts on. He's not even in basketball shorts.
Well, they look like they weren't like, you know, work shorts that I have on. They were like sweat shorts, but they were like second tier.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And the cell phone in his pocket. And then one of the videos, everybody's like going, you know, team, you know, like everybody's got their hand in, you know, Sixers, whatever. He is outside the huddle, dribbling the ball around. I don't want to be any part of this.
And everybody texting in about trade him, you can't. Whoever you trade him to is then on the hook for $175 million.
Well, and 147, Chris.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I got my 7 and 4 mixed up right there. 147. $150 million you're on the hook for. Nobody's trading for that contract right now. Like, in a league of stupid contracts, his sticks out as the stupidest.
Well, that's the thing. You can trade him. It's going to take a mini miracle to get it done, and probably two other teams.
I don't see it.
With the Sixers picking up the biggest part, whatever happens, I think the Sixers have to pick up a gigantic chunk of that contract. Otherwise, no one's picking up.
But at $147 that point, again, just approach him. Say, here's $75 million. Here's half of what you are owed. Get out. You're no longer an employee of
Chris, if I'm a pain in the ass just a little longer, I'll get the full 147, please. What are you going to do about
it? No, you won't.
Because if I say no, you still got to pay me the 147.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, you'll get your 147. It will also be the end of your NBA career.
Yeah, but I get 140. I'm not a very good NBA player.
It'll be the end.
The secret's out.
Okay,
I'm going to collect my 147 and go retire with $200 million on the bank.
I go play overseas.
That's fine.
I go play overseas.
That's fine. Look,
if I really want to play.
This is the reason when he got the contract, we all said, this is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
This is a terrible idea, Philadelphia. Awful idea.
They thought they were appeasing. They thought that getting the money was going to make him become more dedicated and become a better player. But what a selfish.
Maybe this is the route. He continues to get suspended for conduct detrimental.
Maybe.
Then this is where the Sixers get off the hook by not paying him.
You can suspend him
and not pay him.
Yeah, continuously suspend him for conduct detrimental. And you do this, and this is an ongoing storyline until he is willing to accept a lesser buyout.
Now, they don't play tonight. They open tomorrow.
No, they play tomorrow night.
Who they got tomorrow?
Hold on.
Is it at home? I'd ride the insubordination ride as far as I could. That's
tomorrow they are at the Pelicans.
Ooh, okay. So they're leaving today for New Orleans, and I'm going to bet he's not on the plane.
How about the Pistons?
No! We're just getting it together.
What? You're not getting it together.
We have a nice young nucleus. We don't want that ruining it up.
Getting it together.
Getting it together, Chris.
Okay.
Could have the new sort of semi-twin towers out there with Garza.
You're
and
outside
Simmons.
Of the bottom three in the East.
The foundation is set. These young players will grow. We're trusting the process now. We got a bunch of young guys that we like. The future nucleus is there. Right now.
Is it?
Cade Cunningham.
Yes. Yes.
Potentially. And Luka Garza, the best. You know, who now can jump.
Go ahead. Keep continuing. They got one of them.
Lost 20-something pounds. And
there's a guy on there I can't pronounce. He was on the Olympics, Olympian team. So he's good.
Mm-hmm.
What Olympian team?
The USA that just won gold.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he play a lot?
I don't know.
Hey, Kelly Olynyk completed the Sheeman and Shepherd trifecta. He's been a Celtic, a Heat, and
now a
Piston.
You need a body.
You need
a body to collect some fouls.
Really,
I like him as a player.
He's not bad.
He busts his tail. I think he's a nice player.
Yeah.
He busts his tail. He's the anti
Him a dude Diallo?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that him?
No. I don't know. Hold on, I'm going to have to Google it now because I've already
forgotten. Let's see. Your starters, Killian Hayes, Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, Jermoni Grant, Isaiah Stewart, Hamidou Diallo. Is that who you're talking about?
I think that's who you're talking about. Nobody
from
else
Kentucky?
On this list.
Possibly. Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
He's the Olympian.
Oh, well, geez, okay.
Jeremy Grant was an Olympian?
Hold on. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
From Cuse?
So there. How about that? Oh, that's because LeBron was sitting out. There's a space available.
Congrats. I just don't see it.
Did we win the Olympics?
Yes.
Oh, we got off to a
shaky start.
No, we got off to a slow start.
In the exhibition, we were losing
yeah,
games.
Yeah.
I'm not going to throw stones at that team. Those players were in COVID-restricted NBA pseudo-bubble. They got to a wide-open Las Vegas and were expected to play basketball around partying. Like, that's not their fault. Yeah. They deserve to party a little bit.
Right.
No, and I'm not even being sarcastic right now. I am firm on believing that they deserved a good week of partying in Las Vegas.
Especially after they got humiliated in some of the exhibition games.
Rick Ashley fan says, Chris, sandwich bet, Pistons will be in contention or better for
what
play.
What does that mean?
For play in the final week of the season.
Like, in contention. They're not one of the 10 best teams in the East.
Yes, they are.
For a sandwich bet, you have to say, what do you say?
We're
in
10.
The final week of the season. Okay. So, in contention, you're going to say top 10, top 8.
Okay. Let's do a game. You better than the Celtics?
Out of four,
no.
We can take one out of four.
No, you're not better.
We're taking one out of four.
Okay, you're not better than the Celtics. You're not better than the Nets.
We already did this game.
You're not better than the Knicks. You're not better than the 76ers. You're not better than the Raptors. You're not better than the Bulls. You're
Milwaukee.
Not better than the Pacers. You're not better than the Bucks, the Hawks, the Hornets, or the Heat. That's 11 teams.
Hold on. These are these ridiculous preseason hyperboles that we are wont to do on this show.
So
had we done this last summer about the NFL, and I did that with the Arizona Cardinals, are they better than the Chiefs? No. Are they better than the Bills? No. I mean, they're 6-0.
No, to your point, Craig, you're right. And
Thank
the
you.
Preseason, you know, prognosis. Prognostications.
Hold on.
Paper,
no, that's
paper,
not fair.
No,
that's not
it's
fair.
Absolutely
you
fair.
You just compared the Pistons to the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals had talent last year.
I didn't. But
and I will sandwich bet you that the Pistons do not make it into the play-in series. Or the post, whatever version of the postseason you want, they are not making
if
it to
they
it.
Are playing an 83rd game.
Done.
I win a bet.
Done. Right?
That's all I want.
So
done.
A play-in for the play-in.
Whatever. What if that? Whatever. In 80.
Hold
this
on.
This
Hold
is
on.
The language.
Oh, no.
This
no.
is the language.
Now this time I'm
in 83rd game. I get a sandwich.
I'm the arbitrator here, so I mean, let's clarify this right here and now.
They need to finish the season as 10th or better in the Eastern Conference.
What if they're tied for 10th and have to play a playing game?
Then
that's an 83rd game.
And they lose it, then they're not 10th. If they win it, then they are 10th.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. They have to win it. Obviously,
they have to be the 10th. Seed or better in the Eastern Conference.
You know what? I'll put my stones on the table. Absolutely. Write it down.
All right.
I don't even know what that means, but yeah.
10-19 at 223. 10-19 at 223. Craig and Chris, sandwich bet that the Pistons will be in the top 10.
Top 10 team.
In the final week
in
of the season.
No.
I'll write it out, the full schedule.
No, the Pistons
at the end of the break.
Finish the season
in the top 10 or better.
Or better in the Eastern Conference.
I like it. I'm all about top 10 now. My Indiana Hoosier football team started out top 10. My basketball team will be in the top 10.
That's how you start.
The Pistons will be top 10 in the East. That's how we roll.
Roll to what?
26 days till basketball season, by the way.
Oh, college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, NBA starts tonight, as you said. But all right. Are we done writing the legal verbiage?
Unbelievable that you would just hand me a sandwich like that. I'll let you out of this bet right now for a half a sandwich.
You know, I just had an idea.
No!
Why doesn't
our... Ink doesn't even dry the ticket yet.
Attention to our sales staff, if they're listening. We should have a lawyer be a sponsor of it, because we have this verbiage and we do these bets all the time. Well, we should be sponsored by an attorney. Fact.
Or Rick Horror can decide.
Yeah, well, he doesn't
pay. I can play an attorney. I know enough. I've watched enough legal shows.
Yeah, Rick doesn't pay enough money.
Rick doesn't pay.
All right, I'm going to have to pin it up on the board during the break. Yeah.
What's the problem? Are you out of pins?
I'm out of thumbtacks.
Here, I have an extra.
No, I've got a whole box of them in my office. It's fine.
No, one right here,
it's
buddy.
Fine. It's not a big deal. It's 2:25 anyway. We should probably go to break.
Really? I feel like we haven't started the show yet.
Riveting NBA discussion. We'll get into 4th and 3 from the Tennessee.
It was 4th and 1 from whatever. The three.
It was sort of 4th and 2, but anyway.
Yeah, that was a long one.
I think that was a long one. I certainly think you make an argument either way. I know all the analytics say go for it.
Well, let's have that argument when we come back.
When we come back.
Because I definitely have a view on that. And in the meantime, if you are an owner or a manager of a building here in Southwest Florida and you've got automatic doors, you got to get those annual Adam specs. You got to do it. It's part of the deal. Call the Flying Locksmiths, though, and they'll take care of it for you. In fact, if you call the Flying Locksmiths and mention the special code, here it is, Sheeman and Shepherds. Can you remember that?
Very clever.
Our listeners get a free inspection. Any business that calls and uses the Sheeman and Shepherd code word, $175 value and no cost with the Flying Locksmiths. We got our good guys over there, Jeff, Nick, Randy, Daniel. They're all ready to go. Call them, make the appointment. Some restrictions apply, but you can call the Flying Locksmiths, mention our code, get scheduled for your inspection. While you're talking to them, you got any problems with any doors, anything that needs to be replaced, the doors, the hardware, the locks, they will take care of you. Their website, flyinglocksmiths.com, flyinglocksmiths.com. Then call them, 239-790-6880. That's 239-790-6880. And remember the Sheeman and Shepherd code word. Get your free inspection. Call the Flying Locksmiths now. The Flying Locksmiths, if it's on the door, we handle it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. Already lifelong Buckeye fan. Man, it's only Tuesday. He's hammering me about the Hoosiers this Saturday night. Prime time on ABC.
I've never seen so many people want to get in on a sandwich bet. On Chris's side.
For the Pistons take?
For not reaching the top 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that. And again, long life Buckeye fan. It's only Tuesday. The game's Saturday. Get back to me on Thursday.
That's going to be ugly. Ugly, ugly.
It's those kind of games, though, that surprise you. And I'm going to warn all you right now.
I can hear the echoes now. And Tuttle throws another pick six.
We do lead the country in pick sixes. Here's what's going to happen. One of these days.
Poor Carter.
One of these days.
Pow. Right,
my train is going to come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to get one of these.
Oh, yeah.
And if you think I'm obnoxious now, you wait. You ain't seen nothing yet.
What train are we talking about? Pistons train, Indiana Hoosier train, Lions train?
IU football train.
And IU basketball.
Detroit Pistons basketball train.
You know what? All the above. Throw in the Lions. They can't be 0-for. They got to win eventually.
No, they don't.
Eventually, they got to win. Wouldn't that be something if the one of two 0-16 teams in the history of the NFL was the first to pull off the 0-17? What does that say? What is 17 plus 16? That is 33? That's a lot of losses for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, the Jags look at that and go, damn! By the way, did you hear Urban yesterday?
The locker room was as exciting as one of my college championships.
And the dynasty in Jacksonville will be here soon.
Soon.
Well, I don't know if
Did
he said
he say
soon.
That? Did
he
I,
said, I'm telling
like
you
that.
Guys, we're building a dynasty.
Wow. I don't know, man.
I don't know about him. All right, they're trying to build a dynasty in Buffalo. All right, so let's discuss. For the game last night, Titans win 34-31. Bills going. This game had 7 lead changes, by the way. It was a great game.
It's a record.
Derrick Henry was out of his mind. Just he keeps going. I keep waiting for that body to fall apart and for him to get old, and he just keeps killing people.
Average 7.15 yards a carry. Yes, even if you take away the long of 76, he averaged 3.86 yards a carry. But that man should be an Avenger.
Yeah.
The next Avenger movie, he should be in it. He is unbelievable.
Like that ponytail has some magic in it or something. So the game comes down to the end. Josh Allen rushing for the pylon comes up a wee bit short on third down. It is now 4th and a long 1 from the 3. They're down by 3. They could kick a field goal at this point. Well, this is like 12 seconds left at this point. Kick the field goal, go into overtime, and take your chances. Or, as Sean McDermott decided, no, we're going for it right here. And it gets stopped short. Josh Allen does a quarterback sneak. It gets plugged up. Yeah, he loses his feet.
That was a big part of it. He's 240 pounds. I mean, I think 95% of the coaches in the league would have gone for it. But I know that's what analytics
really?
Says. I do. But, but I'm with you. I don't know. 10 years ago, that's an absolute, I think, field goal try. I think most coaches then 10 years ago go for the field goal, take your chances in overtime. And I know, yes, Derrick Henry was having his way with them, yeah, but still, you don't know, you don't know.
Here's my rule of thumb, Pete.
I understand
both sides. I don't like any play that if it's not successful, the game is over. This is along my same line of theory. If you're down by 11 and it's fourth down, kick the field goal, get the touchdown later. You know, and instead of going for the first down, coming up short, now your game's over.
Yeah, I kind of like that philosophy.
That's my philosophy. Keep the game going at that point.
Keep it within 2 scores for that. Yeah. Yeah. So no matter what, but you get the obvious first. But I totally understand it because the Gen stats that came out about it today said that it was 74% better if they went for it. And it was and
did you see the overhead shot of the yellow line? That was more than a yard.
It was to me it was 2 yards at least. Yeah. It was 2 yards.
I thought it was a lot to ask.
But his left foot slipped a little bit, and that was the main reason. Because otherwise, I think he makes that play probably at least 8 out of 10 times.
He's a big man.
He's 240 pounds. He's a big guy.
All right, I sense Chris is chomping at the bit to throw a hole in my theory. Go ahead. This is what talk radio.
I am going to play the opposite side. I thought it was absolutely the correct call to try to end the game right there.
Okay.
If you give the ball back to Tennessee, game is most likely going to go to overtime, right?
It's going overtime.
Outside of a Hail Mary, where I say most likely you're going to go to overtime.
Yeah.
And at that point, you really haven't been able to stop Tennessee in the second half. Like, Derrick Henry was doing whatever he wanted. So it's coming down to a coin flip in my eyes. It's coming down to a coin flip if you're going to get the ball back or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control a coin flip. I guess you could call it as the road team, but you can't control what it is.
Yep.
Yeah. You can control getting 5 feet. What did we say? It was 4th and 1, but it really
was 2 yards.
It was
6 feet. I think he makes that play most of the time.
I think that it's worth it to keep your destiny in your own hand to try to go for it and get the 5-6 feet instead of hoping that the coin toss goes your way.
I'm not. Your points are good. I'm not sitting here and I'm not ripping Sean McDermott today for the decision. I'm just saying, because sometimes I would come out here, if I thought it was a horrible, stupid, like Mike McCarthy type decision, I would have ripped it. I'm not going to rip him for it. I understand the logic behind it. I'm just saying I would have taken the 3. If it were 4th and inches instead of 4th and 5 feet, maybe I'm thinking differently.
You know, I watched a little bit of Pro Football Talk this morning. Florio brought up a good point because I think maybe you and I think this a lot, maybe Chris too, as far as analytics is great. It should not be relied on for every little thing. And part of me starting to believe that it's that most coaches, most of them are starting to think this way. And it's a shame because it takes away the human element of gut and heart and a lot of other things that you cannot put into analytics. It's a mathematical equation that the NFL is being run like, it seems at times. And I don't know, part of me misses, like I said, there's no question, Craig, that 10 years ago, I think most 10, 15 years ago, that's a field goal attempt. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it that would have been a field goal attempt, and you take your chances. And all Chris's points are valid because I feel the same way, the way everything was going. But you don't know, especially now where you have to score a touchdown to win the game, and maybe Tennessee, if they win the coin toss, does that. Mm-hmm. But maybe they don't.
Yeah.
And maybe they kick a field goal, and Buffalo comes down and scores a touchdown. But I think part of the human element is getting lost a little bit in the NFL these days. Everything, we talk about analytics, and I'm getting a little sick of it, to be honest with you. I know it's a big part of the game. It's a big part of all sports. Yeah. I understand that. But I do think I'm starting to miss more of the human element in college and the NFL.
There's a point to that, no doubt about it. I'd like to hear from Art the Bills fan and Harry Carey and company.
Am I looking at this right? Did Tennessee score on the final seven possessions of the game outside of the end of the half, at the end of the first half?
Let me think. The Bills scored at the end of the half to go 15 straight games with a lead at the half. So
right.
Start in the second half.
But starting in the second half, I mean, Buffalo got the ball out. Then they gave it back to Tennessee. Tennessee scored a touchdown.
So what you're saying is they couldn't be stopped.
They scored on every possession of the second half. Two of the three possessions that they scored on were touchdowns. The other one was a field goal.
Yeah, third quarter, touchdown at the 428 mark. They tied it at 23. Then they were up at 24-23. Then with 31 seconds to go in the half, Buffalo scored a touchdown, 29-24, two-point conversion score, 31-24. Fourth quarter, field goal at the 9:49 mark, 31-27. Buffalo still ahead. Then the next possession, about 5 minutes at the 3:10 mark, touchdown, Derrick Henry, 33-31. And the extra point is good, 34-31, and that was it. Yes, distinguished gentleman from Indiana.
How many touchdowns did Julio Jones get?
He made the greatest catch of the night. By far, I was going to get to that. Absolute by far. I was almost going to text you when it happened, but I said no.
I was aware. I saw it. It was good.
It just felt last night that whoever had the ball last was going to win.
Yeah.
And Sean McDermott could control that with the fourth down. You can't control it with the coin flip.
Yeah. No, it's all totally fair.
And that's why – and, you know, we talk about it like with the Rays. I kind of had the same thought process. Maybe the move's not going to work out 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
If it did, then you – like, there'd be nothing to question.
Right.
But over the course of the season, the moves you make, as long as you're winning more than you're losing, like, you're making the right call at that point. And I think that's what this is. You're making the right call. It didn't go your way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, you want to control your destiny, not have somebody else flip a coin for it.
I can't kill them for the decision.
No, not at all. And then you look at the Bills' schedule. They're probably going to be 7-2, maybe 8-2. They got home versus Miami, at Jacksonville, and at the Jets. And then home against Indianapolis, which I don't know what they're all about yet. Then it gets a little tougher, at New England, Monday night at home against New England, at Tampa, home against Carolina. Still not sure what they're going to be.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's say you're a real football player. Because, coaches always say, and in fact, Sean McDermott said the same thing. He goes, look, I had to do it for my guys. We had to go for the win. But if you looked at the faces of those players, you're in the middle of the game, you're fighting, you're battling, and the looks on their face after it was over, it was like they were stunned. The Bills were stunned.
Excellent point, Greg Schieman.
Thank you.
But there's a double-edged sword to that.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. Because I remember that quote. He said, I wanted to do it for my guys.
Yeah.
Really? You mean the 11 offensive guys, or is that sending a message like, my defense sucks tonight, I don't trust you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a double meaning there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you want to do it for your guys. Okay, I get it. But you think on defense that they're sitting there going, man, this guy doesn't trust us.
A little bit.
And I guess you're going to swallow your pride sometimes and swallow your own ego and put your ego aside and say, do what's best for the team. And that night, it very well could have been. Hey, they just didn't have it defensively. They're not going to be able to stop Tennessee tonight. But there is a double meaning there. Because you can talk about, I can be there for my guys. Great, on offense, sure. Defensively?
Yeah.
I'd be a little upset.
Yeah, I think so. Big Smizzle says, hey, fellas, can I get a 50th birthday shout out? Well, there you go. Happy birthday, Big Smizzle.
Big Smizzle.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Rose is a bedroom guy. How about you give us back that 101-yard kick return that was called back for a crap call? Yeah, that was an interesting play as well.
No, they slowed it down, and when they did the still shot of it, it looked like a penalty. I mean, I don't think it gets called every time, but when they did a still shot of it.
Yeah. Lonnie Kai says, I don't know what game you guys watched. It was fourth and a long foot, not a yard. I disagree, Lonnie Kai. And, of course, it's always hard to tell with the yellow line because it's not exact. But the overhead shot on the replay.
It looked like fourth and two.
It looked like a long stretch. He didn't even get close.
No, and he slipped. That's the other. And even if he didn't slip, I'm still not sure he would have got it.
Right.
Sean, Bills are going to crush him. Oh, stop it. Sean, please.
I don't know if that is that Sean. We got two Giants fans on the text. Yeah. I don't know if that's Sean or not.
I don't want to hear
it. No, that's not Sean. Wait, it might be Sean.
How do we know the difference?
I don't know.
We gotta change one of them. One's Sean, the Giants fan. The other one's just Giants fan. But they're both labeled Giants fans.
That game December 2nd. Let's see where everybody is.
No, that's not Sean.
Okay.
How do you know? You see the home phone number?
I went back through the text message, and he texted once yesterday.
Okay. All right.
And we talked to Sean yesterday at 5, right?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Giants. Talk him off the bridge.
Yeah, he's very upset.
From a sports analogy, not, you know.
Right. All right, coming up, we've got Sound Street. We will take your phone calls and texts on the decision last night at 239-337-ESPN. Saturday, we're going to Ames, Iowa. Oklahoma State, Iowa State. Coverage starts at 3 o'clock. College football brought to you by Backstreet's Bar in Cape Coral and by Diamonds by Diane. Sheeman and Shepherd rolling through a Tuesday. Red Alert next hour on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Here we go. Last night, the Titans stopped Josh Allen on fourth and whatever. One, inches, two. Feet, I don't know. Here's the radio call, 104.5 The Zone.
Allen, under center, sneaking,
no,
I don't know.
No, he did not make that.
I do not know. Let's see where they spot it.
He did not make that.
The Titans think they have stopped it. Let's wait. Allen tried to sneak. He got nothing, or so it appeared.
He got it! They got it! They did it! They did it! Yes! Not yes! Not yes! Hell yes!
Whoa!
Hell yeah!
Sean McDermott stands by his decision to go for it on fourth down.
Most quarterback sneaks are, there's a feel or a read element involved. Him and Josh is usually spot on with those. You've seen him have a lot of success in those situations, and so again, give them the credit. They made the play when they had to make one, and hey, if we're that far from potentially winning the game, right there was the best thing we could do. We hadn't stopped them on defense for a number of drives there in the second half, really. So, but again, felt like we could go and win the game right there, and obviously didn't get it done.
Here's Josh Allen, 7 lead changes in this game. He says he wants a rematch with the Titans.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in it, and I love Coach McDermott for giving me that opportunity, and I got to go out there and prove him right. Sometimes the plays don't go your ways. They get paid on that side of the ball too, and like I said, they had a good game plan. That's a really good team, and hopefully we see them again, because and the way they're playing right now, I expect them to make a run, and got a lot of respect for them.
Okay, be careful what you wish for. Here's Mike Vrabel, a statement win for the Titans.
Well, we feel like we can beat anybody in the league, and I mean, whether you do or not, but that's the mentality that we take. These games, you put a lot into them. They take a lot out of you, as you guys can see, with some of the players that were injured. But we'll regroup and we'll find out where we're at, and we'll get ready to take on another excellent, opponent next week. So that's just what it is.
All right. On to baseball. Pete's Red Sox, 12-3 winners over the Astros last night. Carlos Carrera and E-Rod are they're friends, by the way. They got a little mocking back and forth yesterday. Alex Cora didn't like it, and he scolded his player for doing it. Here is the comment.
Alex, I was just going to ask you about Eduardo's start and also just what you said to him kind of coming off the mound there.
Don't do that.
And why?
Because we don't act that way. I mean, you know, we just show up, we play, and we move on. And he knows. I let him know. You know, we don't have to do that. You know, if we're looking for motivation outside of what we're trying to accomplish, we're in the wrong business. You know, the only motivation we have is to win 4 games against them and move on to the next round.
Meanwhile, Carlos Carrera said he was cool with it. He actually thought it was funny.
Hitting my celebration, I thought it was kind of cool. It's just the way baseball should trend moving forward. You know, we talk about making baseball fun. We talk about baseball, you know, growing and more people coming to watch the sport. You know, you need things like that. You need to let the players have fun. And, you know, I loved it personally. I think the game should move in that direction where you can show emotions, you can be yourself, and you can keep it real.
All right. Again, they play again today. They got the later game today. The earlier game at 5:08 is Braves and Dodgers.
Greinke and Pivetta tonight. Bet the over again.
All right. You're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
So, take your word to the
Greinke's bank. I know Greinke's going to get – Greinke not making it through 3. If he even makes it past 2, I'll be shocked. But Pivetta, still a wild card. Don't know.
Okay.
Pitched well lately, but
– total's 10.
Yeah, I'd still go over.
Go over. Yeah. All right, coming up.
That's a big number.
We got some college football news. We had a coach lose his job due to a vaccine mandate. We've got Paul Feinbaum on possible head coaches for LSU. And Jimbo denying that he will be one of them. Also, on Friday, special day on Friday, NFL Hall of Famer and legendary Chicago Bears coach Mike Ditka wants you to join him on October 22nd for an unforgettable night at the Hilton Naples for the first annual Gridiron Gala presented by Life in Naples. Hang out with Coach Ditka during a cocktail reception presented by My Capital. There'll be live entertainment, world-class meal, wine, bid on once-in-a-lifetime auction packages. While you can help Coach Ditka support grants for retired NFL players who have been struck by financial need or medical expenses and need a hand up. These are guys that were playing in the league before the money was big, and they got a lot of problems. He's been trying to help them out.
It's a great organization.
Yep, they helped build the league into what it is today. You can buy your tickets to this event or learn about other options to support. Go to gridirongreatsnaples.org. That's gridirongreatsnaples.org. Today, we'll be doing our show out there Friday. I will be emceeing the event if you go. I'll see you out there. But again, more information. I'll be giving this a few more times throughout the day and throughout the week as well. All right, more on to college football. That's coming up next. Red Alert Tuesday and Twitter Police, Sunshine State Edition. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd at the 3 o'clock hour on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.